Welcome to the Inside Bonnie's Lacrosse Podcast, a behind-the-scenes look at the St. Bonaventure lacrosse programs. Now here's our host, Chris Russell.
Sitting here with men's lacrosse head coach Randy Behrens. Coach, since the last time we talked, we've had three close games. Robert Morris, Mercyhurst, LeMoyne, of course, the win with Mercyhurst. So you went 1-2 through that stretch. What are you learning about this team?
Well, you know, I think we're learning that we got a ton of resiliency. The exciting part is that, like, we're in these games, and every game's like a learning experience. You know, if you had that big win, the big win at Mount St. Mary's, that kind of kicked it off, and we knew that we had this, next three game kind of stint, and Robert Morris, very, very capable team. We kind of felt like we had the opportunity to win. We kind of felt like we kind of gave it away in the fourth quarter. We had a couple of failed clears in the last 5 minutes. They obviously got possession and capitalized on those opportunities where we're just like, but hey, we got to get better. We got to make sure we're shoring up the clear and what's the next thing. And then, had a great outing against Mercyhurst, obviously at home. Very capable team, obviously making the transition from D2 to to Division One. Mm-hmm. We continue to, what would be the word? I guess manipulate, kind of adjust our roster, trying to continue to find out what the right mixes, are. I mean, Aiden McDonnell, one of our senior captains at Mount St. Mary's, he ended up going down with a lower body injury. So we kind of figured out, well, who's going to be replacing him? Mm-hmm. But it was a great team win, and then, hey, let's continue to build off the momentum and just a heartbreaker at LeMoyne. It was pretty chilly, about 2 degrees real feel, but we all have to, battle through all those obstacles. I mean, they do too. And, what a great game. I mean, it was up and back and forth. And, our guys competed. We were able to get Jeremy Askin in. He's another one of our faceoff guys. That's a freshman. Laddie Harper wasn't having a good day. Quinn Nolan came in. And then all of a sudden, Jeremy Askin, ended up winning nine out of 13 faceoffs for us. Kind of gave us some momentum in the second half. And, we were able to, double the ball late and gave ourselves an opportunity to try to tie, but obviously to no avail. I think from a staff standpoint, as we're, seeing the weather start to change, right? It's going to be 50 degrees today, so we can do a little bit more of the standing around and talking and, game strategy versus, hey, we just got to keep everybody moving because it's freezing out. We kind of feel like we're coming down and starting to really kind of figure out what our mix of players are, in terms of, our starters and the secondary guys. And, we try to give a lot of guys opportunity. We got 38 sophomore and freshmen. So which ones are going to stand out and which ones are maybe really, really good lacrosse players, but just aren't there yet. So we've been able to, kind of tinker with that. And now we're, we're here, we're at home, we're at spring break. We got Mercer and then obviously Cleveland State. We're excited about the opportunity. Even though we lost on Saturday, like the morale's still high. Like guys, LeMoyne's a pretty legitimate team, and we're like right there and we're one pipe away or a save away from winning that game. And so you can kind of feel some momentum, even though that it was a loss, of just the belief that we're pretty capable, lacrosse team, as long as we continue to put all the pieces of the puzzle together.
And you're talking about some of the underclassmen, Coach. I wanted to talk about him too. You mentioned Laddie, the freshman, Lad Harper. Mm-hmm. He's just been doing work on the draw so far this year.
Yeah. He's a firecracker. Great kid. Tons of energy. Always working on his game. Jeremy Askin always working on his game. Our face-off guys, we call them the face-off unit. They go work out in the pit. We call it the pit, and they get all their reps in. But Laddie Harper's had a phenomenal season. Face-offs and then wing play, that gets you the ball. And the more times that you actually have the ball, in terms of possession, the more likely that you have the opportunity to win games. So Laddie's really been that, been that catalyst for us, from the beginning of the year. But I got to tell you, Chris, sometimes it's matchups. When we were, against LeMoyne, he took the first, four or five faceoffs and, couldn't get on the ball against their guy. And then we threw in Quinn Nolan. He's been our guy for the last couple of years. A lot of good grinding matchup, like just, stalemate. They ended up winning the GB battle. And we're like, okay, well, we're not winning any faceoffs. So then we went to Jeremy Askin of our four-man, faceoff unit with Jeremy. And then all of a sudden he started having success because sometimes different matchups work out. And we're like, okay. And it was great for Jeremy to get all that experience and for us to kind of watch him grow through the experience and knowing that, hey, if that situation arises again, hey, we got some other guys in the stable, not just Ladd, So, yeah. But yeah, phenomenal kid. Again, he'll continue to do well. He's so quick. He's hard to get the ball from. If he pinches and pops, he's basically getting to the net. And kudos to him. Like, he just has this relentless work ethic. And sometimes I, as a coaching staff, not that we feel bad, but he comes after the game in LeMoyne and he's just like, coach, like, I'm never going to have a worse game, like, ever. I'm never going to have, like, that game ever for you again. Like, and was apologetic. And it's like, hey, you know what? The guy had, your opponent had his best day. You know what I mean? So you feel good about that, but just like, hey, lad, it's okay. It's not your fault that we lost. There's 1,000 things that happened during the game that, cost us the game. And we got to continue to get those things, we got to continue to improve them. But, but again, special kid, special player. We feel like he's going to have a ton of success this year.
You've put a couple of different keepers in the net, but specifically, talking about freshmen and young players, the play of Isaac Farmer as your main keeper really so far this season, mm-hmm. I think has been really, really good.
Yeah, he's doing really, really well. He communicates really well with the defense. And as we kind of went through the journey of, hey, who's going to start and, just a variety of things you go through the fall time and obviously the springtime, Chris Cuccifo has been our starter for the last couple of years. And, mm-hmm. We got Aiden Sheen and Connor Robinson got to start the first game and Evan Gallo, local product out of St. Joseph's Collegiate, who's now a sophomore and, guys continue to battle through the fall. And we felt like, okay, although Isaac's a freshman, the defense just, our sense was the defense just plays better in front of him just because of his communication skills. Secondly, mm-hmm. is he's a very good stopper and he gobbles up rebounds. Sometimes as a goalie, hey, you can make the save, but if it's going off your stick and then out in front, right. Hey, we call those the garbage goals. Hey, we're picking that up. It's in the back of the net. And again, you got to respect goalies because like they're the ones that are getting beaned by lacrosse balls at 95 miles. Sure. But he gobbles up rebounds and on saves, he's very, very good at just getting the ball out, mm-hmm. getting the ball out, see if we can create some transition. We've really tried to push that, as a key tenet to our offense. If we can push transition, easier to score 4-on-3 and 5-on-4 than it is 6-on-6. And so he's very, very good at that. Then you got to evolve into like the settled clears and he's got a good stick and he makes good outlets. And, the more that he plays, just the more confidence that I feel like he continues to build. And we're here during, during spring break and, he's out on the field and, he's taking shots. He's working on his game. He's continuously, working on his game. And that's a testament to him. And we kind of feel like he's kind of settled in to be the starter, here, obviously for at least the next few games. And I only see him continuing to improve.
The next couple of games, coach, you've got 3 games in a week, starting with Mercer on Thursday. Mm-hmm. So how do you prepare for so many games in a short span of time?
Yeah. That's a great question. We're trying to plan ahead, way ahead. We've already, Coach Handman, Coach Pito, as much as we started once the game was over at LeMoyne, we stopped at 5 guys in Syracuse. And it was kind of an interesting kind of dynamic because it was like in the city of Syracuse, right by Syracuse University. And, we got 54 young lads that are in the beautiful rolling hills of this spacious Allegheny with 500 acres. And the next thing you know, we're out of five guys with, 15,000 college kids walking up and down the street doing their thing on a Saturday night and or a Saturday afternoon. I'm like, okay, well, you're not getting that experience here in New York. But then on the way back, we're already busted up Mercer film. I mean, we busted up our Lemoyne film, what we did well, what we didn't do well. But then we're just already on to Mercer. Like, we have the games already downloaded on our computers. We're starting to break down film. We wrapped up on Sunday for, our game against Lemoyne. And now we're just moving on to Mercer. Last night started taking a peek at Cleveland State. They just played Canisius. Talked to Mark Miashita a little bit about them. So it's a quick turnaround, but you got to put in the time on the Cleveland State, although it's not your focus. But we pretty much watched five or six games of Mercer, from last year and the games this year. So we feel like we got a good beat on them. We'll do film, we'll do scout, we'll focus in on Mercer. But once that game's done, we're just already, it's a quick turnaround. It's we're already on the Cleveland State. The exciting part is, from our leadership, of our upperclassmen, and as we've kind of built the program and got a lot of young guys playing and continuing to gain experience, like there's this positive momentum, moving forward, just because, it's not trying to convince our guys, hey, we can beat, Mercer. Like, yeah, they already believe it. Now we have to play clean and we have to have things fall our way and stick work's got to be legit and we got to clear the ball and all the things. But it's a winnable game,
sure.
And they have that confidence where maybe we were lacking that over the last couple of years. Where, hey, we're playing a team. Are we really sure we can, kind of get over the top? Where there's a belief within the locker room that hey, like we're a pretty good lacrosse team, and we can win these games. And we just kind of continue to focus and move on that pathway.
Is scouting Mercer is a part of that, trying to look at a common opponent? I know they played VMI, and of course you guys did as well. Is that part of the scout, part of the film?
Yeah, we play all the, and you're exactly right. When you look at our, our schedule, there's a lot of crossover of teams that we've either played or will continue to play. Right. So sometimes you get a double dip of like getting a double scout in one game because they've already played, and then you got to still play both those teams. I feel like it's important, especially, from the VMI game, because we played them. We know their personnel, what they did to us, what worked for them, and then what worked for us. And you can kind of compare stats because it's those guys playing against, the Mercer guys. You get a really good read in terms of how fast somebody is or how quick somebody is or how quickly they slide defensive wise, or how their goalie plays. We just don't watch one game. We watch Drexel game, we watch the Maris game, we watch the Army game. And so you get a bigger conglomerate of, I guess, stats and facts and just the style of play. And they're capable. They like the transition. They play the change and sub game where, if they can get a couple of the offensive midfielders stuck, they'll just pull them over to the side and play 4-on-4. So you got to be prepared for that. They got some guys that got some decent size, 6'3", 6'4", on the close defensive and on the close D end. Where maybe we haven't really matched up against more of that size kind of thing. So that'll be a little bit of a different spin for us. But they're capable. They got good face off. They got good face off guys. They got good wing guys, but so do we, right? So we just want to continue to try to do what we do well and let's get better at it. Continue to improve the weaknesses, spend a good amount of time on clearing the ball, because as much as that, we only failed three clears against Lemoyne in the Arctic. Yeah, but one was an overthrow, one was a bad pass, and then one was a design flaw that we just didn't hit the spot. So hey, we got to those got to be 100%. I mean, every time you fail a clear, like that's an 80-second advantage to the other team that they have the ball.
Sure.
So, we just try to continue to work on all these different little facets. You know, we had to put in a little bit of a zone offense because Mercer at times will go into a zone defense, right? So we got to be prepared for that. So the best part about it is that we're on spring break.
Right.
So we don't have any Kara hours, so to speak. Not that we're making our guys do 10 hours worth of stuff, but we're just here, right? We can talk about the man up. We can talk about the man down. We can chalk talk much more, you know, mm-hmm. where we're not, you know, obligated for our guys to get the class and come late to practice or leave early, you know, all those things that kind of go in the natural daily life of a college, you know, student athlete. Sure. So we get a little bit more of a downtime and hopefully this will do us justice against Mercer.
I'll get you out on this, Coach, because you and I have talked about this over the years about the growth mm-hmm. of lacrosse as a whole across the country. And you have a school like Mercer down in Macon, Georgia Swarm, one of the perennial powers in the National mm-hmm. Lacrosse League. I think they're third or fourth in the standings right now.
Yep.
Does that have something to do with the schools putting together fairly competitive lacrosse squads now down in the South?
I think it's all connected. I mean, you know, is it the chicken or is it the egg, right? Like,
sure, right.
What had to come first for that to happen in the whole bit? I just think in a general standpoint, like, it's all connected because there's some guys that play for Mercer that are Canadian, but there's some, you know, most of them are American. But more and more guys, more and more student athletes in the summertime are playing box lacrosse because you got the U.S. box lacrosse is all over the United States now.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of these guys are kind of like, hey, well, I don't know. Could I play for the Georgia Swarm? Because, hey, it's in Georgia and I'm from Georgia. Or I'm from the South. You know, and does that spark, a little dream or a little goal of, hey, like, could I get to that next level where I could play with a Lyle Thompson? Am I that good?
Right.
Because there's all these opportunities, the PLL and the NLL, that, hey, could you take it to the next level? Now, that all being said, you know, especially down South, you know, and I feel like this is like over the next, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 years, you know, it's the two things that I feel hold lacrosse back are kind of like twofold, but they're all connected. Is from an NCAA standpoint, we play in the spring, you know, and some would say, well, wouldn't it be great to play in the fall? You know, the problem is if you play in the fall, well, soccer's already there and you're competing against football. That's a tough thing to do, right? College football.
Right.
But we start our season so early, you know, we're 2-4 and it's the beginning of March.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, you know, our first game was February 2nd. And so that first, you know, 6 to 8 weeks for everybody, relatively speaking, is family and friends, people that'll come out. It'll be cold, but, you know, we'll have a hot chocolate and then it'll be okay.
Right.
You know, the advantage of this, of the South and more kids playing down in the South, in Florida, in Georgia, in Alabama, California, Texas, is they get to play year round. You know, like they're not taking a hiatus because it's, you know, 20 degrees out. You know, they can still get in the backyard and do their thing. Right. And so there's all these things that are happening, you know, in the game, you know, itself, and more kids down South are playing the game. And that's a big, big thing that's going to continue to change. Now, the question is now more and more schools are recruiting out of California, out of Georgia. Now, can you convince a California kid or a Georgia kid for a D1 experience, hey, do you want to come up to the rolling hills of the Allegheny? You know, right now we currently have 3 Florida kids, you know, on a roster, or if not 4, you know. So that's all kind of starting to happen because, like, there's such good lacrosse. Like, it continues to grow. And I think that has to do with, you know, with the climate in the South because, you know, it's just warm out, Chris.
Yeah, I thought it's so interesting, Coach, because it wasn't too long ago you'd look at a roster. A third of it would be Long Island kids. A third would be Ontario kids. And then the rest would be scattered around the Northeast. And just the spread of lacrosse in the last couple of seasons is just amazing.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, it's absolutely incredible. Washington, Utah, Michigan, Indiana, and this is the thing, it's continuing to build. The other kind of detriment to it, and who knows where this is all going to go, because it's all the NCAA and this house settlement and roster limits and all this other stuff that's kind of going on. Would other Division I institutions be willing to start men's lacrosse? Like in the current environment, I don't know how it grows. Is it more mid-major schools like a Bonaventure? Hey, you know what? We can get pretty good in that sport, and we'll invest the resources, and we can play against some of the big dogs, right? Because there's only 70, what, 75, 76 D1 squads. And it all kind of hinders on Title IX. For some suspect, if you got big time football, odds are you're not adding men's lacrosse. I mean, where's the resources coming from? And where's it all going to evolve, now? But the craziness is there's so many more kids playing, like youth lacrosse. Like, where are they going to play in college? That they get, and maybe there might be this upswell of the grassroots over the next 6 or 7 years. That there's like a million kids playing, but there's only 75 D1. Like, when somebody take advantage of that growth from an institution standpoint and start adding some programs. I mean, there's still the Title IX requirement, but who knows in this whole crazy current environment of the NCAA, who knows where it's going to go in 2 years.
Well, Coach Randy Mearns, I always appreciate your candor. Always love sitting down to talk with you. Good luck on Thursday. Good luck in the next stretch. And I think we'll be sitting down in a couple of weeks. I appreciate your time, Coach.
Appreciate you, Chris. Thanks, man.